So they asked me to speak today, although I'm somewhat disqualified to speak on about Jayananda Prabhu with his wonderful Vaishnava qualities. So I'll do my best. I thought it to be appropriate, although they didn't ask specifically. They said we just, you know, talk about Jayananda Prabhu, but I thought proper etiquette, especially sitting on the Vyasan, should be we offer respect to Srila Prabhupada's tradition and our line of disciplic succession, and recite the verse, day's verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we'll go through kind of shortly. There's so much to discuss about Jayananda Prabhu, so it'll be a little tight. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chayava narottamam devim sirastim vyasam tuto jaya mudiraya. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan. Under Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, our translator, commentator, and dear most spiritual master. So, a reading from 6th Canto, chapter 9, text number 52. Is that correct? Yeah. The appearance of the demon Vritrasura.
Sa va arigato dhadhyan ashvibhyam brahma Nishkalam Yad Va Ashvashiro Nama Tayor Amaratam Vyadat Sava Arigato Dadhyan Asvibhyam Brahmanishkalam Yadva Aye Ashvi Yadva Ashva Shiro Nama Tayar Amaratam Vyadad Sava Arigato Dadyan Ashvibhyam Brahmanishkalam Yadva Ashva Shiro Nama Tayar Amaratam Vyadad. Tavarigato dadhyan ajibhyam brahmanishkalam advashiro nama tayo ramaratam vyada. Tavarigato dadhyan ajibhyam brahmanishkalam Yadva Ashvashiro Nama Tayor Amaratam Vyadad.
Madhijis? No Madhijis want to chant?
Savarigato Dadyan Ashvibhyam Brahmanishkalam Yadva Shvashiro Nama Tayuramaratam Vyadat.
Word for word. Saha, he, va, certainly, arigata, having obtained, dadhyan, dadhyancha,
Ashvibhyam
to the two Ashvini Kumaras, Brahma, spiritual knowledge, Nishkalam, pure, Yadva, by which, Ashvashira,
Nama,
named,
Tayo,
of the two,
Amaratam,
liberation in one's life,
Yadat,
awarded. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. That saintly Dadyansha, who is also known as Didichi, this, by the way, is Lord Krishna, or Lord Narayan speaking. That saintly Dadyansha, who is also known as Didichi, personally assimilated the spiritual science and then delivered it to the Ashvini Kumaras. It is said that Dadyansha gave them mantras through the head of a horse. Therefore, the mantras are called Ashvashira. After obtaining the mantras of spiritual science from Didichi, the Ashvini Kumaras became Jivan Mukta, liberated even in this life. Actually, I stand corrected. This was not spoken by Narayan. Narayan spoke the previous verse. This was spoken by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Purport. The following story is narrated by many acharyas in their commentaries. And I'll skip the Sanskrit. Translation is, the great saint Didichi had perfect knowledge of how to perform fruitive activities, and he had advanced spiritual knowledge as well. Knowing this, the Ashvini Kumaras once approached him and begged him to instruct them in spiritual science, Brahmavidya. Didichi Muni replied, I am now engaged in arranging sacrifices for fruitive activities. Come back sometime later. When the Ashvini Kumaras left, Indra, the king of heaven, approached Didichi and said, my dear Muni, the Ashvini Kumaras are only physicians. Please do not instruct them in spiritual science. If you impart the spiritual science to them despite my warning, I shall punish you by cutting off your head. After warning Didichi in this way, Indra returned to heaven. The Ashvini Kumaras, who understood Indra's desires, returned and begged Didichi for Brahmavidya. When the great saint Didichi informed them of Indra's threat, the Ashvini Kumaras replied, let us first cut off your head and replace it with the head of a horse. You can instruct Brahmavidya through the horse's head, and when Indra returns and cuts off that head, we shall reward you and restore your original head. Excuse me. Since Didichi had promised to impart Brahmavidya to the Ashvini Kumaras, he agreed to their proposal. Because Didichi imparted Brahmavidya through the mouth of a horse, this Brahmavidya is known as Ashvashira. Translation again. That saintly Dadyansha, who is also known as Didichi, personally assimilated the spiritual science and then delivered it to the Ashvini Kumaras. It is said that Dadyansha gave them mantras through the head of a horse. Therefore, the mantras are called Ashvashira. After obtaining the mantras of spiritual science from Didichi, the Ashvini Kumaras became Jivan Mukta, liberated even in this life. Om Agyana Tamananda Syagananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha Shishetanya Manobishtam Shtabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dharati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shiguru Shiuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagarjatam, Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savarutam, Parijana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakanvitamscha. He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jigapate, Gobesha Gobika Kanda Shishirara Kanta Namoshtute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So continuing with this epic narration of this chapter is of course the killing, the appearance of the demon Vritrasura. And in this verse, it's interesting to note how Indra just can't stop his nature. He loves cutting off people's heads, and all due to the reaction, well, at least, you know, the appearance of Vritrasura and all the problems from offending his spiritual master Brihaspati is pretty much where everything began. Actually, that's where every difficulty begins in spiritual life, in offending our spiritual master. So this narration is very important for us to hear. Sometimes, you know, we wonder, why are there certain narrations in Srimad Bhagavatam? Why are we hearing about all these, you know, strange activities like the King of Heaven cutting off the heads of Brahmins and, you know, having to undergo sinful activities and so much saga and, you know, drama that ensues from that, with all the huge battle between the demigods and the demons. And this is all very, very instructive. So everything has its place in Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is one of the, of course, most important lessons to imbibe from this. It's also interesting, of course, in this verse, how the Aswini Kumaras were able to get around the threat of Indra and already cut off his head and give him a horse head. So then when Indra would cut off his horse head, then they could replace his original head. Amazing qualifications of physicians in the heavenly planets is they're able to do such things which are not really possible, even, I don't think, by the greatest Ayurvedic physician. And Didichi is a great saint. He's actually the person originally who had given the Narayana Kavacha, the armor of Narayana that protected the demigods and allowed them to defeat the demons. He is the one originally who gave it to the priest that the demigods hired, who was, what was his name? What was the priest that of three heads? Huh? Vishrup, yeah. And so it's interesting to note, and of course one of the most instructive things about this particular section is how a saintly person such as Didichi could give up so easily his body in sacrifice simply by the demigods asking for it. Also, it's interesting, Krishna told Indra he should go and beg Didichi for his bones. And so now you can imagine Indra's embarrassment, who had actually cut off his head earlier. Now he's asking him for his bones. And so it said, actually, I think it was one of the sannyasis giving class had mentioned that Indra actually didn't ask him personally. He actually pushed forward the Ashwini Kumars and said, "You ask him." And he stood somewhere in the background during that. But Dadichi agreed. This shows the qualities. One of the most important qualities of a saintly person is that he's so detached. He's willing to sacrifice anything for the benefit of others. And I think what brings to mind the most significant verse to study in this regard is a verse from the eighth canto, chapter 7, just after Jai Shishi Gornitai Shishi Krishna Balaram Radhe Sham Laliti Vishaka Ki Jai. After Lord Shiva drank the ocean of poison, he this verse was at least recited about him. And we'll read the verse. Tapyante lokatapena sarva prayasojana paramaradhanam taddi purushas yat purushas yakilat manaha. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. It's a powerful statement. This is considered the highest method of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. And different versions of this same point is brought up in Bhagavad Gita, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's we could consider it one of the cornerstones of pure devotional service. And certainly we have to suffer so much in our to advance our devotional service. And why do we have to suffer? The process is easy. It's very simple. Simply chant Hare Krishna, dance, and take prasadam. And Prabhupada said it is simple for the simple-hearted. Unfortunately, we all being conditioned souls, at least myself, I don't know if some of you possibly were sent from the spiritual world, but as a conditioned soul and having so many defects and having this false ego which is so bound with this conception that I am this material body and material, everything in relation with this material body is, you know, is part of my identity. It's so difficult, so impossibly difficult to get out of this conception that to tread the path of devotional service, it's actually a many lifetime process. But of course, by the mercy of the spiritual master, and depending on the sincerity of the candidate, that process can be a very short process. Indeed, within this short lifespan of 100 years, which in previous years was 1,000 years in Dwarpa Yuga, 10,000 years in Treta Yuga, 100,000 years in Satya Yuga, the potency the Lord has given in His holy name is such that we can traverse this path in a very short period of time. But to do this, we need special mercy of the spiritual master. We need special mercy of the Vaishnavas. And the first name of the first devotee in our movement that comes to mind when we think someone who has this level of sincerity is Jayananda Prabhu. And I had the extreme good fortune of joining the movement in San Francisco in the early 70s. And my bhakta leader at the time was Jayananda Prabhu. And so I do have some memories of Jayananda Prabhu, but I also wanted to give a chance to other devotees around the world who had at least as much or more association, or at least, I'm sure, appreciated his association more than I did. So we'll read about that also. Let's see, where should we start? I think we should start about mentioning, first of all, that Jayananda Prabhu did not like to be praised. And if someone started to praise him, he'd immediately start talking louder than a devotee about the good qualities of the devotee who was praising him, or another maybe new bhakta that was there. And so he was, in fact, disarmingly, you could say, humble. He had so many disarming qualities. One devotee recounts how when he went to, he got the opportunity to go to Rath Yatra to help build the carts for the first New York Rath Yatra. And he had this, you know, he was so excited he was going to meet and work with Jayananda, who was at that point had become so famous throughout the movement. So he had all these preconceived notions in his mind, you know, about who Jayananda was. So when someone approached him in dirty work clothes and said, "Hey, Hari Prabhu, can you help us with the carts?" And he did some service ago, it wasn't until he actually took rest at night that he found out from another devotee that was actually Jayananda. So Jayananda had this quality of being so, in fact, he had so many Vaishnav qualities, but they were covered. Just like it says, no one can really understand, you know, they can't, unless one's a pure devotee, it's very difficult to identify who is a pure devotee. And so especially someone in Jayananda's position, it was very difficult. So Jayananda was mild-mannered, very simple, down-to-earth, and he always had dirty hands because he was always fixing the temple vehicles. And he would stand in line at the... everyone would stand in line in San Francisco to take... I believe they had just two showers. And Jayananda would get up, stand in line. Devotees would always offer him to come in front of the line. He would refuse, always wait his place in line. And he always wore it. He was very, very frugal. He would never spend unnecessary money on anything. And so his clothes, he would find it sometimes he'd find them lying on the street, but usually he'd get them at thrift stores for just like a dollar, you know, his work clothes that he would wear. So this, I'm going to read, this is called The Life of Jayananda Prabhu by Kalakanta Das. Actually, what I wanted to do is there's a wonderful video, about a 30-minute video, which is really, really nice. Just all different photos of Jayananda in the early days with Prabhupada during Rath Yatra. But I couldn't get Uddhava Bandha Prabhu here to help put it together. So we'll just read from this nice letter by Kalakanta Das. And other than kind of just read through it, I'll just kind of go through it and kind of sum things in my own words as much as I can. It says Jayananda was the all American boy, handsome, strong, intelligent, born in a higher middle class family. He had a degree in mechanical engineering from Ohio State, and it's kind of surprising that with that background he ended up driving a cab. And they'd asked him at one time why he didn't get a better paying job. And Jayananda said that he didn't really fit in with that upper class crowd. And you could see that by his demeanor. Before he joined Krishna consciousness, he was always introspective. He was, he said he was never happy before joining. He recalled feeling a ray of hope when he read an article about Prabhupada coming into the Bay Area. And so he made up his mind to attend Srila Prabhupada's lectures. And he would come every day. He didn't really fit into the hippie crowd. He was already... I mean, I joined when I was 19 in 1972, and he was about 13, 14 years older than me. So when I joined, he was already in his 30s. And he said, Jayananda said, I wasn't much of a religionist, but he was attractive by Srila Prabhupada. He was especially attracted to attending Prabhupada's lectures in the morning, because sometimes he was the only one there. Many times Prabhupada would invite him for prasadam just alone afterwards. Jayananda recalled when Prabhupada used to serve him and feed him prasadam, Prabhupada didn't really even talk to him that much. Jayananda said, he just kept feeding me, and I kept eating. Eventually, he donated his life savings, which is $5,000, to help Prabhupada printing of Bhagavad Gita. And then as he joined the temple, he continued working as a cab driver and in that way supported the temple. And his he had different duties at the temple. He would pretty much take up duties that nobody else wanted to do. So he'd be the car temple mechanic. He was the garbage man. He'd do the boga runs. And he would still, you know, take devotees out on Harinam every day. That was my bhakti program in the early days. About 8-10 hours of Harinam on the street every day. When books started being printing, we started selling small books, and of course we were selling incense also. Chandanacharya Prabhu, one of the devotees in the temple that time, also recalls that when Jayananda used to go out on incense runs all by himself, he would read and cook prasadam, and he never deviated. He always chanted 16 rounds. He says he was always happy as long as he was practicing Krishna consciousness. In terms of prasadam, he says Jayananda worshiped prasadam. And when a little prasadam would spill on the floor, Jayananda would bend down and lick it off the floor. He would always take prasadam with him, distribute with him, always. Either a downtown chanting party or the boga market, he'd always have prasadam with him. In fact, he was also so much fond of prasadam, he knew the devotees were also, and he was really fond of feeding the devotees also. So I remember, I mean, I've mentioned this before, but every morning when we'd go to Harinam, we would have this huge bags filled with Simply Wonderfuls. I mean, back then they just didn't pass out, you know, a few. We had hundreds and hundreds, were all handmade by the devotees. And Jayananda would let us eat, as if we were hungry, as many Simply Wonderfuls as we wanted before we'd get to Harinam. So sometimes devotees would eat so many they'd fall asleep and they'd have to be woken up when we got to Harinam. When Jambavan Das was becoming a devotee, Jayananda would bring him a plate so big that he thought he could never eat it all. By the time he did finish the plate, Jayananda would put an identical plate in front of him and make him eat that whole plate also. Jambavan would tell him that, I can't eat that. And Jayananda would say, Srila Prabhupada said we should eat so much until we waddle like a duck. So in the beginning days, especially, you can imagine the type of backgrounds we came from. These things were very much encouraged by Srila Prabhupada. And so many devotees were made devotees at that time, simply by eating prasadam, simply by, you know, basic activities of Krishna consciousness even besides chanting Hare Krishna. And he would honor Prashanam any time, day or night. He'd come over from working on the cars completely filthy, he'd wash his hands and find some halava in the Didi kitchen. And he'd come out and the devotee would be walking by and he said, "Hey Prabhu, check this out." And the devotee would sit down with him and devour a huge quantity of halava. Karandar, who was the temple president of Los Angeles in the early days, he remembered also, I guess he must have joined in San Francisco also. I left in 1974. I'm not sure when it could have been before I joined. I don't think it was that. It was definitely before. So anyway, Karandar says that he remembers how Jayananda was preaching to him on his first day in the temple. Jayananda said that, you know, things don't go just always right in Krishna consciousness, so you just have to keep chanting. At that time, Karandar couldn't imagine how anything could go wrong in Krishna's service. And years later, he found himself still remembering these words and appreciated the real potency of what Jayananda had to say. That so many things may come and go, but you just have to have faith in the name. Jayananda's preaching was very, very simple, and he would repeat basic aspects of the philosophy. Like, all you have to do is chant Hare Krishna again and again. Chandanacharya recalls Jayananda up at night at about 11:30 p.m. He was fixing a broken-down Sankirtan van, and I've noticed that on numerous occasions too. All you could see is two legs sticking out from under the car, and there'd be people walking by. At some point he had started talking to him, and he would be under the car fixing things, preaching to these people who were, you know, standing outside listening. But all you could see is two pair of legs because he was underneath preaching to them from under the car. Karandar also recalls how Jayananda one day, after working hard for 10 hours straight, he announced, "Hey, it's 10 to 7. Let's go to Arti." Everyone else was so tired. It was the last thing on their minds. But Jayananda quickly jumped in the shower and went to Arti. So he was really enthusiastic for any kind of devotional service. I thought I'd take a quick departure and read the different qualities of the devotees. And as we read on here, we can see how different of these qualities were present in Jayananda Prabhu. First quality is the devotee is kind to everyone. Jayananda was certainly kind to everyone. Wherever he went, and we'll read later on how people, even after his departure, they were so touched. You know, all these unknown people from all walks of life would come up to the devotees and say, "Where's Jayananda? Where's Jayananda?" There was one lady who was in charge of the permits for New York, and the devotees went in to try to get the permit for Rath Yatra, and they could see she was a really harsh lady. She had a really bad attitude, and she was yelling at everyone. And they were like, "How are we going to get the permits from this lady? You know, she didn't seem at all cooperative." And when they went up to her, she immediately said, "Oh, how's Jayananda?" And the devotees mentioned that he'd left his body. And she immediately broke down in tears and ran out of the room. And then when she came back, she immediately gave the devotees the permit. So the first quality is is kind to everyone. Two, he does not quarrel with anyone. Three, he's fixed in the absolute truth. Four, he's equal to everyone. Jayananda would not quarrel with anyone. He was always so positive about everyone and everything. And he would go out of his way to glorify any devotee. Even in down at Fisherman's Wharf where we go on Harinam, the people there who were fish salesmen were really tough guys, really offensive. And when the devotees wouldn't come by, they'd take the dirty fish water and spray it on the devotees. And Jayananda, the next week, would come by and give them all sweets and say, "Thank you very much for so nicely cleaning the sidewalks." That was Jayananda. So then the next quality is he's fixed in the absolute truth. He's equal to everyone. Jayananda was certainly equal to everyone. And he would make... That's why people loved him so much, because... I mean, one devotee, asked Srila Prabhupada, or told Srila Prabhupada, she said, "Srila Prabhupada, everyone loves you so much." Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, that's because I love everyone." So Jayananda was like that, because he loved everyone. He saw everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. It doesn't matter who they were. He would encourage everyone. He would go to the boga market, and he would get literally, sometimes, like thousands of dollars worth of produce donated. As soon as he'd come there, all the guys on the docks would say, "Hey, Jayananda, how are you?" And then so he'd order whatever he needed. And, first of all, he would get a lot of stuff donated. And then he would get whatever he needed from him. And then he'd say, "Okay, how much do I owe you?" And they'd say, "Give me a buck, or give me $5. They were so much in love with Jayananda that they just spontaneously wanted to do service for the devotees. A devotee is equal to everyone. He's faultless. He's charitable, mild, clean, simple, benevolent, peaceful, completely attached to Krishna, has no material hankering. He's meek, steady, self-controlled, doesn't eat more than required." Well, we can't always say Jayananda didn't always eat more than required. But he certainly put it to good use. It was his energy was just amazing. Like mentioned before, he would work all hours of the day. And still, after everyone was dead and passed out, taking rest, Jayananda would get ready to take rest and go into the kitchen and notice the kitchen was dirty. And he'd stay up for another hour cleaning the kitchen, because he couldn't imagine that in the morning the devotees would cook for Krishna and the kitchen would be dirty like that. He's sane, respectful, humble, grave, compassionate. And compassionate certainly was one of the most significant qualities Jayananda had. Friendly, he's very, very friendly. Poetic, expert, silent. Says the Lord is satisfied by the development of the transcendental qualities of the living entity. In other words, unless one is fully qualified to become a pure devotee of the Lord, one cannot expect to get liberated from material entanglement. So we'll continue here. Actually, I have something else on here. I'll also mention this at this point, because this is also something we can see in the person of Jayananda Prabhu. There are six principles of surrender. And the first one is to accept things favorable for the discharge of devotional service. Two, to reject things unfavorable. 3, to believe firmly in the Lord's protection. 4, to feel exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord. 5, to have no interest separate from the interests of the Lord. And 6, to always feel oneself meek and humble. So one of the outstanding qualities of Jayananda Prabhu is that he didn't memorize a lot of slokas, and he didn't need to sit down, you know, and examine all these different qualities. He already imbibed the qualities, and he was so absorbed in selfless devotional service that all the qualities were just present within him. It makes me think of that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, the qualities of a Brahman, and it says at the end, Subhavajam, it says that these qualities are actually born from his own nature. And I thought that sounds really nice, the way Prabhupada translates that, is that, you know, the qualities in Krishna consciousness we need most for advancing in Krishna consciousness, those qualities are actually produced by our engaging in devotional service, which, with qualities, you know, like enthusiasm, being patient, being perseverant, then automatically these qualities come. So Jayananda had certainly all these qualities of surrender. Jayananda actually sincerely thought that everyone was doing more service than he was. And so he, you know, and he had so much compassion for everyone, so he was able to make everyone, in no matter what position, feel good about themselves. And it says, just like the six Goswamis, they were popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians. So Jayananda was like that. Everyone just couldn't control himself. They just loved him so much. In fact, there was one, we were on Harinam one time, and there was a huge, the guy must have been 7 foot tall, this huge burly guy. He was probably a former vet or something, you know, maybe on, you know, getting checks from the government. And he was stone drunk. And he came out with a really bad look on his face, and you could just pick it up. This guy has an intention to harm. And he came up, disheveled hair. He saw this, came up to the devotees who were chanting. And he said, "Shut up!" He said, "Stop the chanting!" And a couple of devotees already, Kshatriyatayas, were ready to fight the guy. Jayananda just looked at him in the eye and said, "Just chant Hare Krishna! Just chant Hare Krishna!" And the drunk looked at him, turned around, and just walked away. That was Jayananda. He was doing, would do a garbage run with Satyadeva. Now I'll just kind of, there's a few things that he wrote down and that he said. And so as much as devotees remember, we'll mention a few things. He was going on a garbage run with Satyadeva Prabhu. And it smelled so bad. Jayananda actually had a clothespin that he put on his nose while he was loading all the garbage in the truck. And he offered it to Satyadeva. Satyadeva put it on his nose, and it was too painful. He couldn't take it. So he took it off. But they were loading the garbage. And Jayananda said, "You know, Satyadeva, sometimes in devotional service, you're given jobs that are very difficult. Sometimes you think you're an older man. You shouldn't have to do things like this. But you know, I don't care what my mind tells me. I'm just going to keep on serving Prabhupada. My mind comes up with all sorts of things. But I don't care what it says. I'm just going to keep on going." These words are written inside the page, were found inside the jacket of Krishna book, Jayananda's personal copy. He says, and this is very kind of amazing, clear, concise, and really instructive. He says, as you begin to apply the book, the book's clearly described principles to your life, you will quickly experience a new realm of mental poise and experience, an inner happiness, even in the midst of the most trying circumstances. You will worry less and enjoy more. Your power of concentration, memory, understanding, and creativity will increase. You will work more energetically, more confidently, and efficiently, as well as relate better to people. And you will succeed more easily at whatever you try doing. At night, you will fall asleep immediately, and in the morning, you will awaken thoroughly refreshed, with even less hours of sleep than you more normally need. Consequently, you will understand the real purpose of your life and your unique role in creation. These are really, really, really good Sankirtan lines. If anyone's looking for some good Sankirtan lines, there was a time in New York City when devotees, and I didn't mention it exactly if it was before or after Jainananda's disappearance, but a devotee was driving a temple vehicle and he crashed into a police car and put a bump in the dent, in the bumper. And the policeman came up, saw it was the devotee driving, and immediately said, "Oh, how's Jainananda?" And the devotee said, "Oh, he's good, he's good." He said, "You can go, you can go." Jainananda, one of his most glorious qualities was humility. And devotees remember Jainananda would, even as a bhakta, he would ask him, "What do you think of this? What do you think of this?" And he would, like we mentioned, he'd avoid being praised like the plague. And devotees who spent time around him knew if they were going to spend time with him, they knew never to praise him, otherwise he'd simply leave. And when devotees would glorify him, he once turned to Dhanavir, who now Goswami, and he said that, "You know, if you've been around this movement for a few years, people naturally offer you respect," so that he, as a, you know, another devotee, wouldn't feel bad. And Lochan Das recalls, "It was difficult not to think of yourself as being better than Jainananda. If you had any reason to be puffed up, Jainananda would bring it out in you. I distinctly remember this when I was a new devotee in San Francisco. I remember my mind committing offenses against Jainananda, thinking, who is this simple, you know, just like devotee who's like, you know," and everyone thought like that. I remember also when Gaur Govinda Swami joined the temple in, I think it was somewhere in the 1970s, we were traveling with Prabhupada and we were in Bhubaneswar, and there was nothing at that time. We just had a pandal set up. Of course, Gaur Govinda Maharaj was a new devotee at that time, and he was just a brahmachari. And I remember sitting chanting Hare Krishna. A few of the other devotees were really offensive to him. They're like, "Who is this dirty brahmachari?" You could see the attitude, like, you know, "We're big sannyasis, this and that." And like a covered flame. Only till later did devotees realize his greatness. And Jainananda was certainly always like that, just very, very unassuming. And that's why people of all walks of life were spontaneously attracted to him. It's getting late now, so I'll just mention a few things. During the latter stage of his life, Jainananda started getting afflicted with lymphoma, cancer, and all his lymph glands started developing like bumps that were extremely painful. He also had, it wasn't Parkinson's disease, but he had a really bad leukemia he had, and it was very painful. So when they were working on the Rath Yatra carts, the devotees brought up a couch for him to sit on, so then he could give instructions to devotees to build the cart. So he was so undaunted by his position and so enthusiastic for service. A devotee would call out from the back of the cart and said, "Hey, Jayananda, how do I fit this on here?" Jayananda couldn't just tell him what to do. He had to get up himself in a really painful condition. And exactly, you know, he'd end up doing it himself. And the devotee recalls that Rath Yatra, although in his condition, he said, first of all, it's kind of funny that Jayananda was wearing a golden jacket devotees had with BBT written on the back, but it was so old, all the BBT letters were worn out and was kind of, you know, ragged. And so Jayananda devotees thought he was just wearing some new black jacket, because he actually turned it inside out and like wore the jacket. And he would never like accept, you know, didn't want to get a new jacket or anything. And devotee remembers that at that time during Rath Yatra, that Jayananda danced for, it was actually all the way from Central Park to Thompson Square Park, the first Rath Yatra, down Fifth Avenue, the huge main street in New York. That's 52 blocks. And he said Jayananda Prabhu chanted and danced the whole way. It was just amazing.